Okay, well, thank you for being here for this public hearing for the Utah Decides Healthcare Act of 2018 in St. George, Utah. We're excited to hold this public hearing and to talk a little bit about the ballot initiative and take any public comments that people have today. My name is Danny Harris. I'll run through the presentation briefly for a few minutes. We will talk about the ballot initiative itself, what it does, and the process for the ballot initiative to get on the ballot in 2018, and then we will receive any public comment once that presentation is closed. So as you can see, the name of the initiative that we're working on is called the Utah Decides Healthcare Act of 2018. The reason why we've been working on this ballot initiative is because politicians in Washington continue to fight over healthcare, and this initiative allows Utahns to have their voice heard on what's best for our state. This initiative will protect our state's most vulnerable citizens, including senior citizens in nursing homes, mothers and hardworking families struggling to put food on the table, and ensure that they have the health coverage that they need. Utah is one of the few states that has chosen not to expand Medicaid as of yet. So far, since the Supreme Court decision in 2012, 32 states have expanded access to health care to this lower income population. Some states are still continuing to decide whether or not they are going to do that. Utah has so far decided that they would not like to do that. That was a decision made at the legislative level. But we continue to have a problem in Utah with the uninsured rate. You can see there's a tale of two cities here. There's two different uninsurance rates in Utah. The general uninsurance rate is about 8.8%. of Utahns being uninsured, which is fairly comparable and not a terrible uninsurance rate compared to the rest of the country. But we have nearly double that rate for those who earn less than 138% of the federal poverty level. That uninsurance rate is about 16.8%. So that population continues to go without access to health care, despite attempts from the Affordable Care Act to extend healthcare to those populations. So who would gain coverage under the Utah Decides Healthcare Act? We've created this slide to kind of depict how people are able to access health insurance currently. If you're familiar with Medicaid, it's not enough to just be low income to qualify for Medicaid, but you also have to have a category of eligibility to qualify as well. As you'll see from this chart on the left-hand side, if you are a parent, you can qualify for Medicaid if you earn between 0 and 60% of the federal poverty level, which for a family of four is about $13,500 a year. If you make more than that, but less than $24,600 a year, you fall into what's known as the coverage gap, and you're not eligible for either Medicaid, the red bar, or for marketplace subsidies, the blue bar on the right-hand side. Below that, you'll see this is for the category of adults without dependent children. They aren't eligible for Medicaid in any scenario right now. Once a single adult earns $12,060, then they are eligible to get subsidies on the marketplace. But you can see we've created a coverage gap for these populations of people who do not have access to any affordable health care. So who would gain coverage under the Utah Decides Healthcare Act of 2018? Over 100,000 Utahns would gain access to Medicaid through this initiative. That eligibility for single adults would be those earning less than $16,642 per year. If a single adult earned less than that, they would qualify for Medicaid under this initiative. For a family of four, earning less than $33,900 per year, they would qualify for Medicaid under this initiative. And we've found plenty of families in Utah who fall into this coverage gap. These are actual families from Utah who are struggling to make ends meet and who are debating between putting food on the table or making sure that they have health care and are able to go see a doctor. This is the Hunter family. They were featured in the New York Times article earlier this year. It's a family of five, and they have a monthly income of about $1,800, and they fall into the coverage gap because they are at 73% of the poverty level. This is a family that's working to make ends meet, but they're trying to figure out how to allocate their monthly income, whether they spend that on gas and diapers or if they spend that on health care. Other states have seen success from Medicaid expansion. Colorado's found that it's good for business. It's created over 31,000 new jobs due to expansion in Colorado. Other states that have expanded Medicaid have experienced on average about 7% lower insurance premiums in their marketplace. So it's good for other people who are in the private insurance market and are their premiums on average are 7% lower. Washington has also found that it's good for public safety. They saw a 21 to 33% lower rearrest rate, and correction agencies have saved an estimated $5,000 to $10,000 for each person that's been treated. It's also good for healthcare consumers. Expanding Medicaid cut every dollar a hospital spent on uncompensated care by 41 cents, resulting in $6.2 billion in reduction in uncompensated care across expansion states. Typically, these are dollars that are passed on to other consumers in the healthcare system and increase the cost of insurance and healthcare and taxes for other healthcare consumers as well. These are dollars that are helpful to reduce in order to reduce the cost of healthcare across the board. We found that Utahns consistently support Medicaid expansion. Since the earliest polling in May of 2014, where 76% of Utahns supported some form of Medicaid expansion, there's been a trend of support for Medicaid expansion across the years. As recently, in 2017, a poll was conducted in June that showed that 60% of Utahns supported Medicaid expansion to everyone under 138% of the federal poverty level, even with a modest increase in the state sales tax. Another poll that came out in October showed that 62% of Utahns support an initiative to put full Medicaid expansion on the ballot in 2018. So how would this work and how is it paid for? Currently, the state's sales tax rate is 4.7%. And this initiative would increase that to 4.85%. So a 0.15% increase is the same as about 3 cents for every $20 spent. It's also worth noting that this is on all non-food items. It wouldn't apply to any grocery items that people would purchase as well. So that 3 cents on the $20 would generate $91 million in state revenue that would unlock approximately $804 million of federal revenue, federal dollars, to cover the health care for this population. The benefit of this program is it's a 9-to-1 ratio. For every $1 that the state puts in, the federal government will kick in $9 to provide health care for people in Utah. Another point to make is that Utahns are already currently paying federal taxes for all of those $9. We're just currently unable to bring them back to the state until we kick in our 10%. Here is a brief summary of what the initiative does. For clarity's sake, I'll go ahead and read through what the initiative does. The eligibility for Medicaid and CHIP can't become more restrictive. The state can't put enrollment caps on Medicaid and CHIP. Medicaid will be expanded to include all eligible Utahns earning less than 138% of the federal poverty level, which we've recently just talked about. It requires that care, services, and types of benefits currently offered in Medicaid and CHIP won't become more restrictive than what's currently offered. It also requires that premiums, beneficiary enrollment fees, and out-of-pocket costs for Medicaid and CHIP won't become greater than current standards. In terms of provider payments, it requires that payment rates to Medicaid and CHIP providers for covered care and services won't drop below the rates that they're currently being paid. It requires that accountable care organizations who contract with the state to provide care to Medicaid and CHIP beneficiaries will not decrease their payments to providers below the rate at least one ACO has paid this year, and that payments by the state to ACOs will be enough for the ACOs to meet this requirement. Again, real Utahns will benefit from this. As we've worked on this issue over the years, We found many Utahns who struggle to make ends meet, and then having health care issues on top of that compound their ability to provide for themselves and live independently. For example, here's Nikki Stauffer, who is a 36-year-old mother of two and was recently diagnosed with breast cancer and received surgery. She needs radiation treatment following that surgery, but she can't find a clinic or hospital that will help her secure that medical care. Her husband's self-employed, and they earn too much money to qualify for Medicaid, but not enough to qualify for subsidies on healthcare.gov, and so they fall into this coverage gap, and she's unable to get the treatment she needs for her breast cancer. We've also worked with Grant Burningham. He recently fell into the coverage gap after participating in a medical clinical trial to assist his sister with needed medical procedures. This clinical trial caused some health complications and large medical bills were part of the product of that. Unfortunately, his income didn't qualify him to earn to get subsidies on healthcare.gov either, and so he is currently in the coverage gap as well and unable to get the care that he needs. Karina Brown had a mother who died of a stroke in 2013. Her mother didn't qualify for Medicaid or for the subsidies on the marketplace, and she was just a few months away from qualifying for Medicare. There are many people who fall into this position where they are unable to access health care and they're waiting until they turn 65 to get on Medicare. And in this instance, Karina's mother passed away while she was waiting to receive that health care. Here are the timeline and next steps for this ballot initiative. As you can see here today, we're holding 7 public hearings across the state to talk about this initiative and its impacts for the state and its benefits for the state. After we conclude these public hearings and the Lieutenant Governor receives those recordings, we will need to collect 113,000 signatures of registered voters. Those signatures need to be collected by April 15th of 2018, and we must meet signature thresholds in 26 of 29 Senate districts across the state. That means we need to collect at least 10% of the total number of people who voted in the last presidential election. If we meet that threshold by April 15th, then the Utah Decides Healthcare Act will be on the November 2018 ballot, and when passed, 100,000 low-income Utahns will gain access to healthcare coverage starting in early 2019. This is the contact information for the group. We will now take public comment from the audience. However, there are no public comments to receive.
Danny, this is Alan Ormsby from AARP. There are no public comments at this time, so we'll consider the public hearing closed.
And we will close this public hearing. Thank you for all who attended.